I have this conversation with the night people too. They're like, how soon should I eat? Like, when is the last time I should eat? I feel like you just have to plan, you know, plan your lunch to maybe be a little bit earlier, like 11:30, 12 o'clock. And then you can have a snack around like 2:30, 3 o'clock. And then you've got 2 hours before class. Like, if you can leave that 2 hour window where you've got enough food in you and it's still going to fuel you, but it's not going to leave you full. I mean, you don't want to have a huge meal at 4 o'clock and then come to class.
The fitness movement is brought to you by Zor Fitness. We offer coaching and individualized program design, as well as educational content for coaches and athletes. It's all at one place, zorfitness.com. How's it going, Stace?
It's going super, Ben.
This episode is sponsored by LaCroix. However you say that.
Is that how you say it?
No, probably not.
LaCroix.
LaCroix. This is an island somewhere. Sounds like it should be.
St. Croix. St. Croix is an island, I think.
Limoncello.
Not great at cracking open a cold one in the morning.
You ever have one of those?
One of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Limoncello?
Yeah.
They're my favorite.
I like all of them.
Nick Hesser has been bringing me in these in, but aww. Ashley got me a pack one time.
Yeah, she's big on the LaCroix. LaCroix.
Anyway, we're going to sit down and talk about nutrition today.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we're going to take it from two fronts. A, everyday class goer, someone's just looking to get fit, you know, be at a good body composition, the weight they want to be, that sort of thing, and how to best fuel for something like a class environment. And then B, a competitive athlete. Again, whether this person's just kind of an average class goer or a little bit more competitive than that, and how they can fuel to be at their best for like a lead up into competition. And then maybe we can go into a little bit of competition itself, since quarters is coming up and we got a lot of people doing that. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity for us to sit down and just kind of like, yeah, revisit some of the stuff, because you've been on before and we've talked to quite a bit about this, but I think there's some maybe unique circumstances that we can get into today that we've kind of talked about a little bit. So yeah, I'll start with like the average class goer, because we got a lot of people who are either coming in the morning where it would be like ideal time for them to eat, essentially, or evening time, which would be like, again, the ideal time to eat dinner. So it's either like normally very close to around breakfast time, where if people don't eat anything, they often feel underfueled when they're actually doing their workouts, or hungry, which neither of those are ideal, obviously. Right. Or on the flip side, they eat too much and then they're feeling full, which again is never fun when you're in the middle of a workout, especially if it's something that's pretty intense. So again, I think if people are waking up, they deal with that, or if they're coming out of the workday, they often deal with like the same thing. If it's like, again, either, you know, pretty much right after they get up, they come here and do their workout, or they're coming right after work. Let's start here. Like how often do you think like that's a problem for people?
It's probably one of the most commonly asked questions that I get, especially the people in the morning. For whatever reason, it bothers a lot of people. Well, some people to even eat first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Which I can't wrap my head around. Like I wake
just,
up.
Just not hungry.
Yeah,
when
they yeah they're up. Just not hungry. Yeah. Like, it's not a matter of not wanting to eat. They just don't have the desire to eat. So I think, I get asked all the time, I guess about both times really, people that come in the morning and at night, but they just don't really know how to time it. You know, if you come at 9 a.m., you should be able to eat something by 7:30.
Unless you're waking up at
8, unless you're waking 8:30. Up at 8:15 to come to class, yeah. then there's a problem. But like the people that come at 5:30 a.m., they're the ones that are kind of like, okay, I sleep in my gym clothes and I roll out of bed and I come in.
Basically waking up last minute so that they can sleep as long as they
possible. Yeah, I mean, you don't have a huge window from waking up at 4:45 to starting class at 5:30. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably one of the more challenging times. But I still feel like, you know, just getting something in, even if it's just, you know, a piece of toast on the way in the car, or even just setting your alarm for 10 minutes earlier is not really that much of a big deal.
Yeah. So, I guess maybe what I'm kind of hearing from this is maybe like you could either eat the majority of like pretty close to like a normal meal before, if you're someone who tolerates that, and then maybe you have a snack afterwards that's more of like a post-workout snack before you like, you know, ship off to work or whatever. Or you could flip-flop that if you're someone who's got more sensitive stomach where you have like, you know, a banana granola bar, something simple in the morning where it's smaller and pretty easily digestible. It's not going to like sit in your gut. Right. And then afterwards, you could probably hopefully have like a more like formal breakfast.
With yeah, and that's when substance. They sit down and have like their oats with protein, banana, fruit. People go home and make omelets with a slice of toast. You know, that's when they get like the big meal in for after.
So if someone's waking up first thing and there's someone who doesn't tolerate food super well right away, what are some good options of like go-tos that you'd recommend to people for like, again, this isn't like your whole breakfast. This is just like a snack before you come in to get your workout in. What would be good options for people?
I tell people just to keep it simple. A small piece of fruit, like I said, a slice of toast. It's not a huge amount of food. It's maybe 100 calories. So it's not going to fill them up. It's not going to give them any sort of discomfort. And it should still give them enough fuel to get the workout going too. I mean, just something small. It doesn't have to be anything. I mean, even a small granola bar would be okay.
Yeah. I think. Toast is probably going for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the person who maybe is coming in after work. Again, I think for a lot of people, maybe they just don't plan it out well enough, or it could just be a very similar thing, and maybe it's just a matter of getting better planning.
For sure. Those people, I think, have to plan. I have this conversation with the night people, too. They're like, how soon should I eat? Like, when is the last time I should eat? I feel like you just have to plan, you know, plan your lunch to maybe be a little bit earlier, like 11:30, 12 o'clock, and then you can have a snack around like 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then you've got 2 hours before class. Like if you can leave that 2 hour window where you've got enough food in you and it's still going to fuel you, but it's not going to leave you full. I mean, you don't want to have a huge meal at 4 o'clock and then come to class.
Yeah. Like, or you can think about it this way. Like, you know, if you're doing a 5:30 class here, you're getting home. Well, you're leaving here at 6:30, you get home, and let's just say you eat pretty much right away. You're still not eating until like at least 7 p.m.
Yeah. So, and that's the other thing people don't love. They're like, and then I'm eating super late, and then I'm not getting to bed until 8:30, and then I have to get up again. So it's a lot of timing. I think you have to think about it a little more.
And then if you're someone who eats maybe at like noon and you didn't eat dinner until 7 or 7:30, that's a long time to go without fuel.
Yep.
So especially if you're exercising in the middle there, you're not going to probably – and you're someone who cares about like what that actually looks like, then it's like you should probably, take. I mean, even if you eat like lunch at a pretty normal time, like, you know, 12:30 or something, it's like you could still, you know, between 2 and 3, just have like a. It doesn't even have to be that small of a snack. I mean, if you're not just trying to watch your weight
snack,
that closely,
I think like a small meal.
No, I mean, I mean, if you, again, if you're someone who, again, you're not a morning person. You're coming in to work out in the evenings. That means that you're probably, let's just say you get up at 7 and you eat at 8. You eat again at noon. That's only 4 hours. Mm. Where if you go from noon to 7, that's 7 hours.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah. So you almost have to put a small meal in there if you want to do that.
I think of everything in terms of meals. Meal 1, meal 2, meal 3, meal 4.
They're not snacks in your mind. They're all just meals.
They're just all meals.
So, again, I'm trying to think of like Brooks talked about this more because she's been coming in for kettlebell, which is on the later side. Mm. So that starts at 6:30 for us. And it's, again, one of those dilemmas where people often then don't want to get home and feel like they're eating an entire meal at that point.
It's late. It's late to eat a whole meal. But
again,
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with eating at 8 o'clock at night, but it's like for my people, I actually have a client that is doing the kettlebell class as well. She's like, if I eat really late, am I going to gain weight? No, you're not going to gain weight from eating late, but it might reflect on the scale the next day. Like it might, you know, undigested food is still going to be there, but, and it messes with your sleep and a lot of other things, but that's late to eat.
Yeah. I think people like fall into those like myths all the time where it's like, If I eat right before bed, I'm just gonna like it's gonna go straight to my hip space.
500 calories doubles at 8:01 p.m.
So not true. And again, you got to think about like what is the goal for most people. The goal is to like feel confident in their skin and, you know, comfortable in who they are as a person. And rarely, the point being, like, most of the time when people reach their goal weight, it's not like, oh, now all their insecurities are just gone.
Right.
Right. So I think oftentimes people just need to recognize, like, what are you actually going after?
Sure.
And being honest with yourself, like, yeah, okay, if I'm at a certain weight and I still, you know, not that it's necessarily needs to be performance either, but it's like, you know, I want to feel good, to be able to move well, mm-hmm. to be able to show up for places in my life and perform in the way that I want to, you know, be at my best, so like all these different things. And that's not like sometimes it requires you to fuel when you get home a little bit later.
Yeah.
Even if it, you know, some person on Instagram doesn't tell you that.
Right. And that's just, I mean, you can't work out hard for an hour and then not eat because it's 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's the most practical way to look at it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, again, if you take more of like your mindset to it, where it's like each of these is a meal, right? And maybe you just kind of split the meal then on either side of that window where it's like, I can have some before class,
yeah.
like a smaller meal before class, small meal after class, where it's just sort of like, okay, you might not sit down and want to have like, you know, a normal, like, quote unquote dinner for yourself, but you could definitely like split, you know, the calories between those two and it might sure. be work out for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a lot of people that do that. I mean, their pre-workout snack might look like chicken breast and a half of a sweet potato. Like, most people don't think of that as a snack. They're like, where are my chips and pretzels? Like, chips and dip.
Yeah.
A snack for one person looks different
Very
than
true.
It does for the other.
That's funny. I don't think about it. Yeah. Maybe I should just start calling everything meals.
Meals.
Yeah.
Meal one, meal two, meal three, four, five, six.
Yeah. Because oftentimes, even before I go out, maybe I'll have like an applesauce packet. Like out on the floor, I'm saying, well, if I'm working just in my office.
Yeah, it's like, where are you eating applesauce before you go out?
out onto the floor from like 30 feet away from my office. It's a tough transition sometimes, Stacey.
I get it. That little sugar boost.
But yeah, sometimes it's just an applesauce packet. Sometimes it's, you know, some other whole fruit like an apple or something. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is just like, you know, I ate my lunch a little later, so I just don't need that. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of it just depends on timing and figuring out like what you're able to tolerate. And you can also change what you tolerate over time.
Sure. I had a few gals that just could, I mean, she would come in here and she would be drained from not eating anything. And she's like, you know, I've just never been able to eat early in the morning. And I said, well, you know, if you're going to come in here and work out hard for an hour at 9 o'clock, you should probably just try something, even if it's a half of a banana. You know, and then maybe over the next week or so, increase the amount until you can tolerate it. And she's doing great with it now. But, you know, it just takes little by little, mm-hmm. you know, small changes.
How much do you let people who are like nutrition clients, like make decisions based on like how hungry they are?
Are you at, like, do I let them change the amounts of food that they eat because they're hungry? Like, so.
Sure. We can start there.
Okay. So no, initially I don't. Most of the people that come to me want to lose weight, so they have to be in a calorie deficit.
Yeah.
And that does cause some hunger occasionally.
What?
You're going to have to be – at first, you're going to be a little hungry.
you're not selling these days.
But here's the thing. Like, based on the macros that I give them, they'll reach their goals. You may need to just restructure your food a little bit. So if you eat a ginormous breakfast, so if I give you 125 carbs and you eat 100 of them at breakfast, you're going to be hungry at 5 o'clock at night. So that's not going to work for you. But if you restructure it throughout the day where you take that 125 grams of carbs, and I don't give anybody that, by the way, that's really low. That's really low. So if you take that and divide it by three and have three meals throughout the day based on 125, then they're evenly distributed. You're not starving. Or if you want to have four meals a day, then you divide the 125 by four. So I talk to them first about restructuring what I have given them. But then if they're just constantly hungry and just not recovering and tired, then we adjust the food amount a little bit. But no, mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody starts out and they're like, coach, I'm really hungry. I'm like, yeah, well, you've been overeating all this time, so you're going to probably be a little bit hungry, but it's going to be okay.
But I also think the opposite happens. And I definitely heard this quite a bit from people. It's like when they up their vegetables a lot, which is something you encourage everybody to do.
Yeah.
Or generally more than most people have been doing. Let's put it that way. Mm.
How do I eat all this food?
Yeah, how do I eat all this food? And then oftentimes people are waking up and they're not hungry right away. Mm-hmm. And they're used to, I've been trying to lose weight for the last 20 years and it hasn't been going well. So I just, you know, basically try to not eat until I'm starving and I break.
Yep.
Versus like, you're allowed to eat sometimes if you're not hungry. Mm-hmm. Like, that's okay. So in other words, like, for the person who wakes up and they're not hungry right away, doesn't mean that you can't eat.
It doesn't mean don't eat. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you probably will be hungry and you don't want it to be when you're in the middle of your deadlifts.
Yeah. When you get to that point where your stomach's already growling, you're in a bad spot. It's not good. You're going to overeat. You're going to eat something that you didn't have planned for the day or, yeah, it's just not a good situation to be in. And I do hear that. I hear people say, how am I going to eat all this food when they realize they have to eat a certain amount of veggies and the food volume goes up, then they're like, there's a lot of food. Don't you get tired of chewing? I got that this week. Don't you ever get tired of chewing food? No, and I'm never hungry.
Yeah. And for maybe we can transition a little bit more to like the competitive side of things. Mm-hmm. It's like for people who are caring a lot about the performance, the reality is it just doesn't matter how you feel sometimes. Sometimes it's just about getting like more fuel in.
Yeah.
And that's not the case maybe for everybody. Like there's certain circumstances and this maybe should be clear. Like this differs by sport and things too, because there's going to be certain sports that encourage people to be, even if they're not weight class sports, they encourage people to be at maybe like a little lighter body weight or just carry very little fat mass. Mm. Like even if you're as simple as like a runner, right? You don't want to carry an extra kilo around if you don't have to.
Right.
So you're going to be faster if you are as lean as possible, provided that you're still healthy. And I feel like it's kind of, for a lot of people, it's the reverse in CrossFit, where they're trying to continually get stronger to, you know, feel themselves, because they're just like, truthfully, like taking on a lot of volume and stuff. So it's like, you just need to be putting in a lot of fuel. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just struggle with that.
Yeah. I think it's scary. I think too, for females, when I do get to work with people that are performance and goal-based, I mean, everybody has a goal, but performance-based and the athletes, and they want to get stronger and maybe gain a few pounds, that's really cool to see that transition happen. But it's hard. They struggle with how much – they're like, should I be eating this much food? Like, it's kind of scary at first. It's like, yeah, you just keep eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, there's definitely exceptions, but I've found that a lot of – males tend to want to overeat at times, and a lot of females always want to
try big, lift big, Ben.
Right. Yeah. And a lot of females tend to, if they're going to err on the one side, under eat a lot of times. Again, there's obviously exceptions to that, but
Do you get a lot of females that, I've always kind of been curious about this, especially for myself, that feel like, well, what if I just lose 5 pounds? Will I be better at muscle-ups?
Gymnastics.
Yeah.
Because like that's like the big thing is, right? Like a lot of females struggle with gymnastics.
Yeah.
Where it's like weightlifting, it's more incremental. So it's easier to be like see where you're at day to day, and just like it's a little bit less black and white. Whereas like with the gymnastics, like you can either, you know, do a certain amount, you can do the reps or you can't, right? Mm-hmm. You can and that's obviously can be very challenging. And it's like, again, for a lot of females, they're still trying to work on the upper body strength. So you're trying to develop that. But then it's like, well, if I would just lose a little bit of weight, then I don't have as much to pull around.
Right.
Which is true. But generally that, in my experience, that doesn't go well. Unless someone's like, if they're carrying around a bunch of extra body fat, then, and usually that's not the conversation then, right? Usually the conversation, if someone is just like, you know, 20, 30 pounds overweight, it's like, it might be a matter of like, hey, let's continue to, you know, work with somebody like you in addition to like the program design side of things. Or it could just be like, it might not even be frankly on the radar yet. It's like someone's just like pretty young in their career and they're just getting started and they want to like most people understand if they're fairly recreational when they start off and they're like, it's like, let's just like do this for 18 months and then see where we're at that point. It's like, okay, if we're still not where we want to be, then it's like, okay, let's start to change things and clean things up a little bit more. But I think just starting off, it's just like consistency that is usually lacking. And it's like, I'm not necessarily trying to change everything right away. It's like, could we be doing, you know, 6 hours of zone work each week and that might help you lose that weight? Yes. But if I give that to you, you probably won't do it. So it's like, how about we just start with the basics?
Sure.
And oftentimes for people that, it's not neglecting the nutrition side of things, but it's not like making it like super formal up front. If someone's like more from like a sport background, whereas like if someone's more health oriented, that might be flipped around where it might be like the nutrition side of it first and then like trying to inject more and more exercise into it.
Yeah.
So I think that depends. But for the competitive CrossFit females that I work with, there's definitely a pretty large subsection of them who it's like, they're always a little tempted by like, if I just lose a little bit more weight, I could be better at gymnastics.
Yeah. I mean, I see stuff kind of floating around now with quarters coming up. And I was kind of shocked to see it. Should you be doing more of this to be a little lighter for gymnastics? It's like,
yeah,
if you're reaching that level, I feel like if you want to be competitive at that level, either you have the movement or you don't. I don't think that crash dieting is a cool idea to get there.
Yeah, and that's just the thing, right? I think most people, if they're choosing to do that, it's either coming from like a pretty deep insecurity of like, I wish I was smaller all the time.
Yeah.
And ooh, I could like meet that goal with like the disguise of performance.
Yeah.
And then, or it's someone who it's like, realistically, they like the competing side of it just maybe isn't that important to them. And then it's like, just go after like what you were like want in terms of like body composition.
Right.
So it might just be like, you know, again, like there's plenty of people where it's like, if you're there's this competition that's coming up on the horizon. It's like, we're actually not going to change what you do that much for that competition because it's either not that important to you, not that big of a competition where it's just like, you know, a lot of people don't treat it that seriously, or it's, just like based on like where you're at with your timeline of things, it just doesn't make sense to gear up with it a lot. Like maybe you're either just like not that advanced where it doesn't make sense to peak that hard, or I mean, typically it's like either they're not that serious about it or they're not in the place where it makes sense to gear up for it really hard. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
Let's go to quarterfinals because that's coming up for a lot of people. We'll try to make sure this releases before then. But yeah, I mean, if let's just say someone's like an average class goer, average from like the perspective of like, they're not doing like double sessions all the time or taking things like crazy seriously, but they're serious enough where they made quarterfinals and they're in the top 25% in the world, which is something to be, you know, proud of. Mm-hmm. But, is there, again, like that example that you just gave, like, is there anything I should be changing? Should I try to lose that extra 5 pounds going into this? Like what things should people be trying to maybe change or alter at this point in their season? Like, provided that this is like at least a week or two away from quarterfinals.
I guess it depends on, you know, is it something where you're going to do so well that you don't want to just have fun. You're like really serious about where you're going to place on the leaderboard, or you're just in it. Hey, I just want to do the workouts and see how they're going to go for me.
Kind of relax, but do the best I can sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it's a tough question to answer. I think that the workouts are obviously going to be tough. It's going to be, what, 4 days of workouts?
More than that. I think it's closer to almost like a week for the testing window.
So it's going to be a lot of work in 1 week. I think at this point, as far as fine-tuning, I would look at everything from sleep to hydration to, you know, really paying attention to what you're going to do probably a few weeks leading up to it. Just really keeping things dialed in, not trying anything new or crazy. I mean,
I think that's a good way to put it is like dialing it in. I think to me means like it's kind of doubling down what you already know you should be doing or like already have been trying to execute on, but doing it to a better degree. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I know I should be, you know, waking up and getting some water in right away. But I've been kind of slacking on it, mm-hmm. and I'll go until lunchtime, and I realize that I just really haven't had any water yet.
Yeah.
And then you try to pound some extra water by the time you before you get to the gym in the afternoon so that you're hydrated. And it's like, obviously that's not ideal. So let's dial that in, meaning like, okay, when I wake up, I'm going to make extra sure, like, I've set this water glass off to the side where I know that's my morning water when I wake up.
And, you know, a few weeks, I would start doing it now if you haven't already, being the first day of the month. But, you know, starting a couple days before quarters is probably not going to do you much good. But
yeah.
I think, yeah, just, you know, extra water, sleeping. If you go to bed a little bit earlier every night just to get some extra sleep and start that, you know, a couple weeks out so that you're.
Yeah. I mean, as simple as it is, like if you sleep great before, like, you know, you come into class and you slept great, you're probably going to feel better. Whereas like, you know, if you short your sleep by 2 hours, you're probably going to feel like trash. Right. And there's obviously like there's things that are not going to make a dramatic impact because it's just not enough time under, like, ideally you're doing this in your like day-to-day training where there's more of like that snowball effect where it can build a little bit. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely things you can do in like the immediacy that like, okay, it's competition week. I can definitely act on these things that where I'm going to be better off. And that can be as simple as like you talked about with like hydration, you know, getting electrolytes, things like that in. To like making sure like the meal timing's correct before you're actually going, okay, I know I'm gonna test workout here, or I know that my session's here. Yeah. I'm going to make back out from that. Okay, 90 minutes before that, I'm gonna have a little bit of carbs. You know, 2 hours before that, I'm gonna have a like more of a formal meal sort of thing. Work backwards and just be a little bit more planned and prepared for things.
Yeah, really, just take time to think about it. And you know, you're going to be at the gym if you're doing a few workouts over the course of the weekend. You're probably going to be in the gym most of the weekend. So, you know, prepping ahead, having stuff ready, so you don't have to run to Jersey Mike's and get a sub with onions and then you'll be
Sam. I gotta tell this story.
The gym will smell great.
So I was doing an on-ramp, an introductory class here. And
oh man.
This is the week of quarterfinals, and I literally just got done testing a workout. I was all sweaty. Shirtless, and I was sitting in my office chair with like no socks and shoes on. I completely forgot about it, this on ramp that I had. And the girl walks in, and she's like, "Hey, Ben." And I was like, "Oh, hey, I'll be right out." And I'm like scrambling. So professional. That's only happened once. And literally, Sam Hagen was. He just came back in and he got Jersey Mike's sub and he was eating it. And she's doing her workout and she's like, "Is that onions?" Sam's like, "Oh yeah, it's me. Don't my bad." Gotta love working out with the onion smell.
Oh gosh, no thanks. But yeah, I mean, having that stuff planned ahead so you're not going, okay, I have this much time until the next workout. What am I going to eat? I mean, that stuff should all just be with you and packed and ready to go.
Do you have a topic that you'd like to request as a future show, or just a question about training? Reach out to me. My email is ben@zorfitness.com, or you can DM me on Instagram @zorfitness. Lastly, head over to zorfitness.com if you want to browse all of our previous shows with in-depth show notes, as well as educational content for all things training.
What's your, what is your typical plan when you have like a long weekend of quarters and multiple workouts? And
yeah, quarters is great in the fact that you get to control like pretty much all the variables.
Yeah.
So you get to do it in your, you know, typical environment that you would most of the time. So like most people are doing it in like the gym they typically work out in. Mm-hmm. So you can be familiar with all the equipment, the layout, like use your pull-up bar, like all that kind of stuff. And then like, obviously you get to set up when you do the workouts. So it's like, I would probably try to just do the workouts like pretty much like the times that you would normally work out. And for some people that obviously would be like double days where you can spread it out. Right. And this is where if you have like a, you know, a 9 to 5, it's going to be a little bit different because, you know, typically all day at work. So it's like, right, you're probably sandwiching it before or after work where you can be a little bit more relaxed with this timeline now, or it could be like, you know, you take the morning a little bit slower, you still get up and eat and, you know, maybe move around and stretch a little bit, but then you could get over to the gym and again, be a little bit more relaxed, mm-hmm. You know, make sure everything's good to go and then basically warm up and go, where it's like maybe, you know, 90 minutes to 2 hours after you ate that first meal. And then you can kind of, cool down, eat in the middle of the day. Again, provided this is like someone who's like taking it seriously enough where they're like maybe taking a day or two off of work, which I think is going to be like quite a few people, especially in the top, maybe quartile of like, quarterfinals participants. And then, so it could be a similar thing. Like you ate lunch, wait 90 minutes, and then sort of take that session that would normally be after work and slide it forward maybe 2 hours where it's like, you can let lunch digest, take a nice long break, think about the next workout, get your game plan in place, and then sort of like, set it up and warm up and go. Where it's like, realistically, I think most people probably aren't testing more than like two workouts in a day. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, if you only have one workout, you probably just put it in the window that of the day that where you feel best, whether that's like mid-morning or mid-afternoon. For most people, I think it's going to be a good time, because meal timing wise it just makes sense. Like you either ate breakfast and gave yourself enough time where now you are digested and feel good in the middle of the morning, or you ate lunch, things have digested, you feel good in the middle of the afternoon. And the great thing is those are usually the times of day where the gyms are usually pretty quiet. Where you're not going to have as many issues with trying to people having walk in front of your cameras and dealing with a lot of group classes and things like that.
Food wise though, like, do you have go-to foods that you
eat? You're like, all the that you was a great food. Five Let's minute answer food. To a question I didn't ask.
I appreciate
food
it.
Food wise, yes.
Like,
so
what are your go-tos, like things that
on like a competition day?
Yeah, or like what are things you won't eat, things that you have to have, things that you know work really well?
Yeah, generally I'm not super picky. I try to eat things that are
nerd clusters.
I probably eat some nerd clusters. I had some today actually after I work out, because I wasn't gonna eat lunch yet. So
I thought
like,
you said I had some today already.
I did.
Oh, you already?
Yeah. a little bit of carbs after. it doesn't matter what
it's
time
still
it
a
is.
Meal. It was your first.
It was my first meal. I had what did I had an applesauce packet. Uh-huh. Because I have some of those left over from athlete camp, and I was like, that wasn't quite enough. So I had some nerd clusters, finished off my post-workout drink, and then I had this limoncello.
Keep oh, you know, hydrated. I wasn't thinking about the fact that you worked out today. Okay, I thought you were just like banging nerd clusters on the way to the
gym. No. Okay. No. But yeah, I mean, it could be anywhere from like something as like, quote unquote unhealthy as that, where it's just like simple carbs. Like, typically I don't try to eat candy, because candy often has stuff in it where I might react to it a little bit less than favorably, depending on like what it is. Like some candies just don't do well. I don't know if it's like dyes or, other additives in it where, for whatever reason, I just don't react well. So like, but at the same time, I like want the simple carbs. So maybe I'll either do like a Gatorade powder, which can obviously digest super quickly because you put it in water, and then also has the hydration. But then I'll, so it could be like fruit snacks, like applesauce packets, things like that. And oftentimes I'll do, if I have like, not so much in like something like quarterfinals, I'll probably try to take a little bit longer so I feel truly good for each one, because you're basically going to like cool down, eat, try to like relax for a while. Again, maybe refuel a little bit more. And then go through a whole formal warm up again, where there's enough time in between, but you want to feel really good for both. Mm-hmm. So might take like on like a say I'm in an in-person competition where it's like, 60 minutes in between events, which is like a really condensed format, because it's like, you're going to cool down, have, 20, 30 minutes, and you got to warm back up. It's like, I'm probably having like 3 to 4 packets of like fruit snacks and like an applesauce packet.
There's really no other way.
Chugging some Gatorade that's got like collagen or something in it that's like all super easily digestible. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, here we go again. Where it's basically like, it's almost, you're fueling almost like your intra workout versus like post workout, pre workout, like going through the whole thing. So in a quarterfinals weekend, I'll do a lot less of that, where I guess it's more like a quarterfinals week now, where again, I'll have more like regular meals where it's going to be, I'll probably try to like reduce protein a little bit, where I'm not going to eat like a bunch of meat in the middle of the day. If I'm going to go do another workout in like 2 hours, I'm not going to have like a huge chicken breast.
Me either.
And I'll often like opt for things that are pretty simple. Again, like maybe like a pasta, rice is probably like really typical. like potatoes, something that's like starchy like that.
Yeah.
Probably go a little bit lighter on the vegetables than I normally would.
Yeah.
And a little bit lighter on the meat than I normally would. And probably try to give myself at least like time and a half portion of like whatever starchy food I have.
Nice.
How's that differ from you?
It's pretty similar other than the meat. Well, actually, I don't eat any meat at all during my workouts. So.
Or anytime.
Or anytime. I definitely take it easy on the vegetables just because some, while they don't bother me, occasionally they do. I mean, they more often they don't, but I don't want, really want to take that chance.
Yeah, I just feel like in fiber in general
workout, yeah,
can be a little bit
yeah.
dicey at times. Because you're already dealing with the nerves of competing, which is like different from like your normal day to day. And then with like the heightened arousal and everything else, you tend to just not digest things quite as effectively. And then if you also have more workout windows that you're having to do, it just makes sense to opt for things that are a little bit lower fiber, a little bit easier to digest.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of peanut butter and jellies.
Yes. That's one of my go-tos.
They say really easy.
I actually said after TFX to Sam, I was like, I can't look at another peanut butter and jelly for at least like a couple weeks.
Yeah. Oats. I do like my oats with protein. My vegan protein powder sits pretty good. So I always know that I can have that and not worry about any kind of like distress. Do you do any pre-workout?
Yeah. So I wake up and drink coffee, and I would do that on a competition day as well. Same amount I normally would.
Yeah.
Nothing different. And then usually before I come out here, like, which is like mid afternoon, let's call it like 3 PM or something. If I'm going to do a workout, then I'll usually have, you know, another 50, 100 milligrams, which isn't a lot for me of caffeine. And then I'll do the exact same thing on like a competition day. Right. So it's maybe a scoop of amino energy, shot of espresso.
One scoop. I know. I definitely do less on days like that because I'm already so like, I'm not sensitive to caffeine.
Yeah.
But on days that I'm like already so like nervous and anxious and amped up, it just makes it so much worse. So if it's a long day, maybe I'll pick a workout that I'm going to have pre-workout with. But boy, it's like I'm already like coming out of my skin with nerves.
Typically, it's not any more than I normally would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
And I think that's a good recommendation too, right? Like probably most people have been, if there's someone who has at least experimented with caffeine, then it's like you've been at the place where it's like, oh, that was too much.
Yeah,
you don't want that feeling in like the middle of a 20-minute AMRAP.
No, I wouldn't try pre-workout for your first time during quarterfinals.
Probably a good recommendation.
Wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, at that point, I think there's a lot of things that people can do that where it's just like, just mistakes, frankly, that it's like, this is like a rookie mistake. Like you don't change anything when you go to do it the first time.
Yeah.
When you go to compete, you don't want to change anything pretty much. So leaving it as static as you can, provided that like there's obviously going to be some shifts that we talked about, like food profile wise. Again, opting for like things that are simpler, a little bit more carb heavy. That's just different than you would in your normal day to day. But hopefully they're not foods that you haven't already exposed yourself to that you're used to.
Sure.
Like even if it's like, okay, I'm gonna have a lot more granola bars and pastas and that sort of thing. Hopefully it's already stuff that like in the last, you know, 6 months you've had regularly at some point. Even if it's not like in the same quantities or whatever, you at least know that I can tolerate, you know, red Gatorade and I can not my favorite choice. You know, I can tolerate blue Gatorade and this, you know, amino acid supplement and, you know, a bunch of rice and go work out and I'll feel good.
Yeah.
So, any other like mistakes that you see people do when they're going to compete specific to CrossFit?
Gosh, nothing that really stands out, to be honest. The biggest mistake I see is like, it's like after, like people that work out all day long, minimal water, and then they go and party afterwards. And then they're like more dehydrated. Why am I so sore? I'm not recovering. Well, what did you do after the competition? Yeah. Which is fine. Like if you want to go celebrate, cool. But if you haven't had much to drink all day, you know, water wise, then you're probably a little bit undernourished.
I'm probably an offender of that.
You probably.
But at the same time, it's for me, it's like I'm not going to be back on the gym on Monday. Whereas right. like a lot of people who do a local comp, it's like they're back in the gym on Monday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where, you know, if that is the case, it's like, yeah, you should probably really try to avoid doing that.
Yeah.
Whereas like I'm always like I can't turn my coaching brain off. So like when I'm at like a competition, I'm like seeing what other people are doing for like warm ups, rehearsals, cool down.
Oh,
work.
The warm up. Oh, yeah.
And people get like the first event is like really thorough, looks great. And then like every other event from there just goes down and down and down where people are just like really, you know, cutting things short, not doing rehearsals, like primers and things like that.
Yeah. And that's one thing I definitely learned from you is going into that setting. That's one thing I guess I didn't think about. I noticed that a lot. People that I just go to comps with not warming up at all, just kind of goofing off until the next workout, or they warm up. They don't have like an hour until their next heat and they're warming up right now. It's like,
yeah, warming
they're
up
like max
way
lift.
Too early yeah. because they're like nervous
yeah.
and they want to move around, which yeah. isn't the end of the world, but you just no, need to be not. Very yeah. careful about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Or yeah, like you said, you know, especially as the day wears on or the competition wears on, they just, you know, stop being very thorough with things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it's like, my point being, like, I'm always like very thorough with like all that stuff, like having my warms written out, going through the whole thing, making sure I'm doing multiple rounds of like, you know, sets if it's gonna be like high intensity work to know that like, you know, you're ready to go when it actually comes. And then on the flip side, you know, flushing appropriately, doing mm-hmm. all that stuff yeah. and then like getting fuel in like right away, like after you're kind of as soon as you get up, or even like while you're flushing, going through that process, like, you know, getting some fuel in and hydration back in. And then I'm just the worst about like once that last event's over and I know I'm not doing it anymore, I'm just like, I'm not cooling down. I'm not doing this. That's like the next day. I can't even walk around. I'm so sore.
Whoops. Get right in the car for the drive home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, I think overall, like the big points you said were like, you know, there is things that you can dial in, mm-hmm. but be realistic about what you can change. Don't try to change too much.
Right.
And then when you actually go into the competition, you need to just – again, understand that your food profile is going to shift when you're at a competition. However, it should be stuff that you already know you can tolerate well, and just need to be careful about quantities and timing more so than you would just like on a normal training day.
That's it. It's that easy.
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
I mean, it really is if you practice it enough, right? And that's the maybe another thing is that people just don't practice enough. But if you're practiced, it is pretty simple. It should be routine. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it is something where it's planned out enough that you don't have to think about it very much.
Yeah.
You got another boot camp coming up?
I do. It's going to be – so April 20th, there's a free boot camp, an intro to macros, where you can come to the class. And at the end of class, we'll sort of shift to like a learning segment where I talk about counting macros if you're new to that and see if boot camp might be right for you. The next one is going to be in May. I'd have to look at the exact date.
Okay. Stay tuned.
May 4th. May 4th.
May 4th. May the 4th, May be, the with
4th
you.
Be with you.
Perfect. And then that kind of what you call it, like a preview of the makers. That's April 20th.
April 20th. Yep.
What time is that?
9 a.m.
Okay. And it's here at Lumber Capital Athletics.
Here at Lumber Capital.
Free.
It's free.
You show up then, walk right in.
Yep.
Have you sign a waiver and get after it.
That's right.
Yeah. I think that'd be a good opportunity if people have obviously questions or if they're just kind of, generally want to kind of pick your brain about some things, like you're going to be open to people as well, just like coming in and like talking to you and
available. Yeah. If you've never counted macros before, if you've never, you know, been in our environment before, it's a really good chance to hear what it's about before you, sign your life away.
Before Stacey owns you for 6 weeks.
That's right. That's right.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
People got questions. Reach out to her on Instagram. She will answer your questions for you. What's your handle?
Sure will. Stacey Coach and Macros by Ma. Macros underscore. Is it underscore?
Sure. Yeah.
What's the little under?
Yes. That is called an underscore. Yeah.
By underscore Ma.
And on Spotify at Stacey CrossFits. So your kids still call you Stacey CrossFits?
They do. They still call me. Okay, Stacey CrossFits.
That used to be your handle.
I liked it. It's true.
It's true. It still is. Still doing the thing. All right. Well, if you got questions, reach out to her. Thanks for listening today. If you're someone who just started listening to the show, I would encourage you to subscribe so you can stay up to date. If you're someone who's been listening for a while, I would encourage you to rate and review the show. And lastly, the best thing that you can do to support our work is also the best thing that you can do for your performance. And that is by hiring one of our coaches. Until next time, stay the course.